This is the Data Citizens Dialogues, your guide to bringing trust to your data, decisions, and all things AI. For Calibra, I'm Thomas Brentz. Welcome to another episode of Data Citizens Dialogues. If this is your first time listening, we're happy you're here. Now, maybe you subscribed to our previous iteration, the Data Download. Either way, welcome. I'm your new host, Thomas Brentz at Calibra. I lead our portfolio marketing team, and I'm dedicated to helping our customers tell their story. So, new name, new host, same mission to highlight customer stories from our data citizens community. Got it? All right, excellent. Let's get started with our first episode. Recently, I met with a number of our customers at our Data Citizens event in Orlando. What better way to start this new season than with one of those interviews, right? Well, we've selected a big one for you, a Big Mac of a story, if you will. All puns aside, I'm thrilled to get help from our friends at McDonald's to tell you a little bit more about their data and AI governance journey. Hey, John, thanks so much for joining us here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your team does at McDonald's?
Sure. John Tucker, Director of Enterprise Data Governance. So I lead the actual data governance practice here at McDonald's, really kind of more of a hub and spoke model, but really we're what I would call the center of excellence for data governance.
Absolutely. Now, I think there probably isn't a listener or a viewer out there that doesn't know McDonald's.
Right.
But what they might not know is all of the cool stuff that you're doing with data.
Right.
In the background, why don't you tell us a little bit about how important data is to McDonald's and maybe some of the applications? What will you guys use data for?
Data is very important to McDonald's, as you said, really understanding who the customer is. There was a time where, you know, all we really cared about was how many burgers we sold. But now we're in a place where we're really trying to personalize the customer experience and improve that and really meet the customers where they are. So as you think about the traditional drive-through restaurant that really worked for us for a period of time, but now you have how customers are getting orders delivered through them via many different apps like Uber or Grubhub. You also have where you have the occasional customer that just wants to enjoy a coffee or a pastry. So really trying to change the dynamics of all the restaurants we have, but also look at what are all the other areas of opportunity that we may have, whether it goes down to energy drinks or it goes to just a unique sold menu items that we have versus the average burger or chicken, things like that.
I can literally only imagine the amount of data that you and your team must just have at your exposure, right? Tell me a little bit about your team. What are some of the folks on your team? What do they do? What's kind of the mission of the org?
Yeah. So my team is a little bit different than most. So I actually have change adoption embedded into the team, which is a little bit different.
Just listening to
all of the, you know, industry best practices and, you know, what works, what doesn't work, what's the biggest miss. So after coming from, you know, conferences like the Data Citizens and Gartner and others, we kind of sat down and said, what do we really need? So the structure of my team is this, really. I kind of lead all the vision work, but I have a data governance office manager. She really is responsible for what the framework is. And then I have, like I said, a change adoption manager. He focuses on what's the messaging, what exactly is in it for our stakeholders. And then we have a data librarian who's over our data catalog. So making sure that, you know, the information that we're capturing is meaningful to the business, not just for technology, because oftentimes this can become very technical work.
Sure.
And so we want to make sure that it's really kind of rich for the business to use and understand and leverage it and then take responsibility of it. And then lastly is more of our operations manager. So he is focused on gaining the adoption of the stewardship. So getting data ownership in place, figuring out who those subject matter experts are, and then also kind of understanding, you know, what are the challenges they have and then bringing that, which helps us prioritize a lot of the work that we're doing around the data.
Yeah, I love that. What you said about meaning, right, really struck a chord with me too, because I can imagine with all of the touch points, all of the restaurants, all of the consumers, the amount of data, right? So you have to like get some meaning out of it so they're actually purposeful. Otherwise, even as we kind of heard from Felix in his keynote, right? You can get to the point where you just have so much data that it becomes unusable because it's, you know, the volume problem.
Yeah.
But tell me a little bit about some of the ways that that you know you kind of bring meaning to folks when they need it.
You know, when we started this journey, I've been on this program for about 3 years. And when we started this journey, really trying to understand what are the challenges we really need to solve. And the common things you hear, hey, I don't know what data we have. This is from a data scientist. I don't know what data we have or where I can go to get it. I don't know what it means. Is this the right thing I should be looking at? And then how do I get access to it? So we really centered our program around those core things. And then we just kind of bridge out how can we help users better understand whether it's through a SQL notebook, whether it's through, you know, looking at here's all the global reports. And then we do have some markets that have their own reports. How do we standardize, you know, the reporting tools around that we're using? So we really tried to take a look at here's all the challenges we have and then center around those and say, okay, if you're looking for data, here's the correct source you should be going to. Here's all of the global metrics you should be using. And then now we're doing a lot of work on reference data management, which is very helpful, especially when you have, you know, your own customized POS system. You have a number of applications we're using from our mobile app to our website. So we want to make sure that, you know, all that data is standardized and we're all kind of speaking that common language.
That's awesome. Yeah. And across that common language, you're dealing with people in a multitude of departments. Talk to me a little bit about adoption. How has adoption been since you started to kind of roll out this program?
You know, when we started to get a little bit of pushback, you know, trying to, you know, change a culture overnight's not easy. So it's, you know, going from technology owns data, they're responsible for it, to the business now has the ownership and they're responsible for it. That's a huge mountain to climb.
Sure.
But I think we found the formula of figuring out, hey, what is it, you know, what are the challenges you have as a business owner? And then how can we help you? And then what we do is you resell that messaging back to them of why they want to do this. And that's actually helped. So we have like, I would say, one or two page sliders on each role we're asking someone in the business to play, whether it be a data owner or a subject matter expert, and why it's important for them to do this role, but also what is the benefit they'll get out of it, and then how my team is here to help them. So we know we're asking them, you know, days in and days out, they have hundreds of things to do, but we're only asking for whether it's 5 or 10% of their time. And then the team, we do everything else that we need to kind of supplement that.
So paint that picture, 5 to 10% of your time, and you're really going to get a lot of benefit out of this.
Absolutely.
If you just put a little in, you'll get a multitude.
And they'll see
out
the time savings of the things that those challenges they were having. Once those alleviate, they realize they have time to do more things. So it's really just painting that picture for them on the benefits they get out of it.
That's awesome. I can see why you added a change management individual on your team to just really, you know, help with that pivot. But could imagine some challenges that would arise in that. What was sort of maybe an early hurdle that you maybe faced, and how did the team overcome it?
I think, you know, standing up various different working groups and committees and then trying to figure out who actually owns the data, that's the biggest thing. You know, the fingers start pointing, well, this person owns it, this person owns it.
Right.
And then we said, you know, let's come with the approach, instead of asking, let's be a little bit more prescriptive. So my team has been very prescriptive on, you know, who should actually own the data, who should take control of it, who owns, you know, the business rules, the data quality rules and such. And then we've even created custom roles, such as we call a business context owner, where, you know, you are using data, you're applying it, you're in some sort of application, but you may not own it.
Right.
But you do understand the meaning or the use cases behind that data product or that application. So that has helped out quite a bit because we have a lot of that where data's being, we have 150 different markets and you have all that data coming in. Well, the markets technically own the data, but if we're applying in a data product or application, then you own the business context of what were those use cases, what were we trying to do. So if something goes wrong, we know exactly what the use case was, we know exactly what we're looking for, and then we can explain that messaging back to the markets that we're taking the data from. So that's what's actually kind of helped, really looking at, is it the right role? Should we create something a little bit more custom? And, you know, McDonald's is there unique. So we had to do that versus going full-blown textbook.
That makes a lot of sense. And I can imagine with all of that data, you would want to start you know, kind of getting some insights out of it, start to automate things, because you have a lot of power in having that volume as well. Let's talk a little bit about AI. I mean, we're here at this conference. It's a big theme. How is McDonald's thinking about AI? What are some of the practical applications of it? And then behind the scenes, what are you guys trying to work on to make that governed?
You know, we've been working on AI for quite some time, but I think, you know, as, you know, generative AI came out and you know, it became a big thing and board members start talking about it. We really look at it from, you know, three perspectives. How do we improve our crew members, you know, experience? How do we improve the customer experience? But also, if you think of corporate staff, how do we improve that experience? So the general tasks that we all have to do. So from a crew member perspective, as you can think about, they're looking at manuals of how to prepare food and things like that. We want to make it a little bit more streamlined where we can give them an app, where it's maybe a chat bot where they can just ask, you know, what temperature should I be cooking X? And it pops that right up. Or you may have a simple situation on the customer side where we're using kiosk, but you can also do a voiceover of, here's what I want to order, and it just shows that order up on the screen. Here's exactly what you're saying. You want to order a Big Mac with cheese, you know, light on the Mac sauce, and then maybe you want a medium fry and drink, and you see that on the screen versus you oftentimes in the past, you might get that one instance where, you know, you place an order, you get to the window, it's like, that's not what I actually asked for, or you added the tomato and it's not supposed to be on there. So now they can see that their order was taken very clear, where we can focus more on the kitchen and serving the food up a little bit faster for the customer.
Imagine eliminating waste in the process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then on the corporate staff, I mean, there's things that we're doing to, you know, looking at all the tools that we use. I mean, pretty much every tool now has some AI component to it. So really try to understand what are all the various tools that we're using. We're looking at what are the models that are underneath those tools, and then kind of really doing risk assessments around that to ensure that, you know, any data that we're putting in there is going to be maintained in our four walls. But also, as we're training these data sets, you know, they're not just out there doing things they shouldn't be, and that we're protecting, you know, both employees and customers' information at the same time.
That's awesome. Yeah, you kind of have that third level, right? Like everybody's got the internal, you got the external, but you kind of have two flavors of internal. You got the crew who's on site standing in front of a customer. I got to make this the best product.
Right.
And then internally, you know, how do I improve efficiency? How do I get reports faster than ever before? How do I answer questions? And I don't understand this data. Totally makes sense. But you're filtering a lot of data in. You're expecting great results, especially when it's immediately customer facing.
Right.
How do you, handle governance in that?
Yeah. So on that, it's really just figuring out, making sure you're getting it from the right source. Sure. That's key. You know, with McDonald's, there's many different sources. There's many different data sets you can go to. And it's just really making sure we're pointing people to the right direction. So as these models are built, we review the, I won't say architecture, but we review the actual data model that the data scientists may create it and said, where are you pulling the information from? So we review that. It goes through a privacy review, a risk review, and we all make sure that, are you pulling it from the correct source? Are you getting the results that you thought you were going to get? And then you want to apply data quality on top of that to ensure that nothing's changed. Once that model goes into production, we know if there's a blip, we can make sure that we can correct that very quickly.
That's awesome. You have a, I'm going to go for my first pun of the day here. You got a couple nuggets of best practices here.
Yeah, I'll drop a few nuggets there.
Right, perfect.
We'll hold the sauce. That's it.
Perfect. Yeah, give you a couple of best practices around, you know, rolling out a, say, a framework around all of this to make it work.
I think, you know, you want to make sure you have all parties involved. So while you may, it's easy to create something in a room, and sometimes you often have to do that first just to get it on paper. But it's good to bring all your supporting partners involved. So as you think about privacy, risk, if you get them on board or even internal audit, things go a lot smoothly. But also, you know, you might want to go on a little bit of a tour and just kind of see how will someone in the business perceive, you know, what the framework comes out to be and what their role is going to be a part of that operating model. And I think that's what worked well for us. You know, oftentimes we go to the textbook and say, here's how you're supposed to do it. But then you often realize organizations aren't set up the same way. You know, there's things over here, over there. And so you just got to figure out how do you create that working or that operating model and then ways of working with others. Because some things are going to be give and take. And that's what's really worked well for us. Every project we've done, and we're in one right now where we are, it's called Securing the Arches, but Basically, it's a protection privacy work stream where we're looking at what are our various different ways of working, what are they going to take care of, what am I responsible for, and then how do we come together when we need to make decisions. And that's worked out quite well for us to do that and get that documented on paper. It's not often easy. Sometimes we may not always agree on the approach, but at the end of the day, when we walk out the room, it's definitely something we all can harmonize around.
That's my, like, the securing the arches. That's great. You have the other project that you guys are working on, Runway.
Yep.
I love the branding internally. And scene. But why don't we tell us a little bit about Project Runway.
So the naming around that, actually, I love airplanes and things, but really we always talk about what our governance program, we're building a plane and flying it at the same time. So we came up with Runway as a platform, and then kind of just spawned from there. We have another tool called Copilot, which is more of a contextual learning tool. So we embed that on top of some reports. We've embedded that on top of our master data management system. So these new processes and tasks, as we train you for the first time, when we walk away, we want to instill that you're still doing these things. So you have that contextual tip that basically shows you, here's how you should be doing this each time. So in case it's something, a process you run maybe once a month, once a quarter, you don't forget. And then we're always there, and we can kind of monitor where they need the further guidance, and we create a lot of user guides and things like that. With Runway, I mean, it's really, a platform that's creating a number of different products. So as you talked about, AI governance is what we look at as a product. Data Notebook will be another product where you can have the actual data catalog and the business glossary connected to that, so you can actually get the meaning behind. If you're running this query, you want to see what this table means or this column means, you can actually pull that up. And then, of course, acronyms. That's one of the quickest wins for us. When I joined McDonald's, I didn't really understand what we called the McLingo. I didn't really understand a lot of it. Or when they were say star, I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, in data terms, are you talking about a star dimension? What are you talking about? Right. So we had this Word document with like 3,000 acronyms. So trying to scan it and find these things, and they're not on there. So what we've done is utilize Runway or the Kleber platform to basically catalog all of our acronyms, but we've also published a PDF back into our intranet site. So you don't actually have to come into our platform, but we keep that list up to date, and you can kick off the workflow from that PDF and go back in the Runway and enter the new terms if you don't see them.
Wow, that's really cool. You guys have had some really impressive stats on not only how fast you've been able to move, but also the scale, right? Yep. How many people you've been able to help? Talk to us a little bit about the adoption levels and the facts that around who you've been able to help.
So I would say, having done 4 implementations of different tools, probably 4 or 5 now, the learnings I've gotten from there is you want to start with the quick wins. So something as simple as I mentioned, acronyms, just getting some basic business terminology out there. Cataloging reports is probably one of the best use cases to go after, because then it becomes like the Bible. Oh, I need to go and see what are all the reports that are available. Some people don't even know that what reports exist out there, but having something they can go to where they may not have access to the report, but they can see here's everything that's out there, is very meaningful. And then what are all the various key metrics that are out there? So that's what we focused on. And by having that, in the first 60 days of just home, getting on the basic use cases, I would say, we had just under 600 users. Didn't expect that, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, when we did the training on the platform, we had 200 people sign up, and they were just tossing out ideas. Here's what else I want to see, and we're writing them down. So we've went from, when we started this, we had 27 use cases. We honed on the easy things first. And then what we did after that is we just kind of went and scaled up from there. So today, as I looked at February's numbers, we were at just under 800 users. So, and we haven't done much marketing. We haven't done, many things. We do a quarterly newsletter to let them know what's new, what's coming. We just started building release notes that the business can actually understand versus the typical IT notes of, here's all the new features, here's all the new things you can do. And then what we plan to do, similar like how Apple does when they release a new iPhone, is, we want to bring all the users in, make it fun and inspiring, but here's where we're going, here's the data journey, and here's all the cool features and things that we're going to kind of lay out there and tools that they can actually use.
That's very cool. Very cool. All right. Pun number 2 here. Without giving away too much of the secret sauce, tell me a little bit about what's next. What's on the horizon?
I think, you know, what's on the horizon is, you talked about AI, is really trying to show what's available to us. So we talk about the models and things, but we also don't know what tools we actually have. So being a big company, and because we have so many different markets, either the market purchases tools or corporate purchases various different tools. So we're now trying to get that. What are all the various applications or tools that we have at our disposal? Which ones have AI embedded? And then how can you get access to it? One of the things I can say, you know, simple things like Grammarly, Otter, AI, that kind of help with the simple task of, you know, just reading something over, or even, you know, taking notes. Especially as a governance team, we take a lot of notes when we meet with our stakeholders. And I can definitely tell you that's given my team a lot of time back to do other things. So just really trying to show, here are the industry or the company standardized tools that we should be using. And also looking at data literacy. That's one of the other big things we're focused on, is what are the reporting tools that we're going to harmonize around? We probably have everything. Yeah. So we want to kind of harmonize. Here's, if we're going to focus on Tableau, Power BI, MicroStrategy, whichever it is, here's the tool you should be using for what. Here's how you get at the data. And then really kind of making, I would say, educational videos around each data set. So what they can expect to get out of that data set, how to use and leverage it. And then if they have questions, who do you go to from there? So those are some of the things that we're kind of working on for the latter part of the year.
That's amazing. Well, John, thank you so much for taking time out of your conference to sit down with me, chat with me, and tell our listeners about what's going on at McDonald's.
Appreciate it. Anytime.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you. Wow, I hope you were loving it. Sorry, I had to do it one last time. Look, that was excellent. Getting to spend time with John Tucker and his team, well, it was one of the highlights of the week for me. I'm sure everyone took something from the conversation, but here are my big three. First, change can be hard, especially for large organizations. McDonald's shifted data ownership from IT to business units. Shine the spotlight on those benefits to your stakeholders and you'll get the same buy-in that John did. Number two, finding meaning in data is essential, but that requires getting it into the hands of people who can put it to work. For McDonald's, enter their Project Runway and you'll get the same consistent meaning, understanding, and that kind of cohesive adopted language all around data. Third, there's a real practical application for data around AI right now. I love how John shared with us their use case of improving the lives of not only their customers, but their team members in the store, as well as their business counterparts, all by making data AI ready. Team, that's it for today's show. I really appreciate you spending time with me to hear a little bit more about McDonald's. For Calibra, this is Data Citizens Dialogues, and I'm Thomas Brents. Catch you next time. Want even more insight into managing your data? Visit calibra.com/podcast for additional resources on the topics covered in our show. Be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Enjoy what we have to share? How about a 5-star review? At Calibra, we absolutely appreciate your support. Data Citizens Dialogues is a production of Calibra in collaboration with Stories Bureau.